I love this. This is one of my favorite topics. I love the concept of gratitude. I think through my life, the Lord has helped me, even probably in the latter years of my life, to really begin to understand the power of thankfulness, the power of having a heart of gratitude. And I will tell you that it changes things. Again, you know, I grew up an only child, and so anybody that, you know, knows only children, there is kind of like a stereotype that comes with only children. And I remember at a young age hating that. I remember hating the fact that it was a label that if you're an only child, that you're selfish and that you're a brat and that, you know, you're just kind of like bossy, which, again, I was bossy. But anyways, the other things. But, you know, as you grow, like, I knew those were negative, and I was like, I don't want to be like that, you know. And, of course, I knew Jesus at a young age, and so I've asked him. I've asked for that help. And I grew up, my grandmother, you know, huge impact on my life, very grateful, very thankful. Other women in my life have been very grateful people. And so, you know, that impacts you when you see that at work. My second mom, her name was Char, she would always write thank you cards. And so when somebody would give her a gift or something would be done to her that was kind, she would always make sure and write a thank you card. And I remember, you know, she was in my life for like 30 years. I remember at a young age being so impacted by that, you know, the power of just even a written note of gratitude. And so I've grown in this space of really understanding what it means to have a heart of gratitude. And so we're going to look at the story in Scripture from the 10 lepers. Now, some of you might know the story back and front, so don't check out just because you know it. But there's so much truth in this Scripture that tells us, helps us to know how to have a grateful heart. Here's a couple quotes I want to share with you. Maya Angelou, she's a great poet, says this: "When we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed." That means gratitude isn't just a personal attitude. It has the power to bless other people, all right? So it's not even about just you. It then flows onto other people. Another quote says, gratitude turns what we have into enough. I'll just let that sit there. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Aren't we as a generation, we're always, you know, Apple doesn't help because they come out every year with the next greatest thing, right? The next watch, the next iPad, the next, you know, and it's like, mine's only 2 years old and you're feeling like, well, I got to get a different one. I got, you know, because there's the pressure. But gratitude, when you're thankful and grateful, it turns what you have into enough. That's for someone here today. Gratitude shifts our perspective, enabling us to see abundance rather scarcity. And that means there might be actual scarcity, but even in that, you're able to see abundance. Does that make sense? It's about our perspective. The definition of gratitude is this: the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. Gratitude's a powerful force, that's beautiful, that can transform every area of life, physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. How cool to know that gratitude can do that. When practiced regularly, listen to this, gratitude brings better mental and physical health. Sign me up. Anybody? Better, hello, physical and mental health. I think everybody's hand should be up on that, right? Gratitude, when practiced regularly, helps your mental health. Think about that. It also brings out stronger relationships. Anybody need help with their relationships? Try gratitude. Try being thankful. Instead of pointing out all the terrible things about that person, try finding the one. If there's only one, find the one thing. Find the one thing and focus in on that and be grateful for that, right? Gratitude brings increased happiness and life satisfaction. In the midst of all things, doesn't mean life's always going to be easy, doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times, but in the midst of it, if you have a heart that's grateful, It can bring happiness and satisfaction even in the hardest of times. Gratitude brings greater resilience and emotional strength. And it also brings a deeper connection to one's faith and to others. So thankful. It comes from our heart. The Bible says out of our heart flows the issues of life. So if your heart is full of hate and anger and bitterness, suspicion, fill in the blank, whatever else, if your heart is full of that, your life will spew that. And so we need the Lord to come in and redo our heart, give us a new heart, take the stone away and give us a heart of flesh. We need his help to be able to do that. By focusing on what we have and expressing thanks, we change not only our perspectives, but our overall quality of life. So you have the power to change the quality of your life by just practicing gratitude. It's a tool that empowers us to live more joyfully with purpose and alignment with the values that matter most to us. Who wouldn't practice that then, right? Well, life gets hard sometimes, and sometimes we get our eyes off of the right things and we get them focused on the negative things, and then that's all that we see, right? Instead of saying, okay, you know what? That's real. We got to work on that. We got to fix that. That's not okay. But there's a greater perspective. And there's always, always something to be thankful for. So turn with me in your scripture, however you're doing on the device or in your Bible, it's going to be on the screen as well. We're looking at Luke chapter 17 today. We're going to look at a portion of scripture, and I just love this account of Jesus healing the lepers. It's just beautiful. So Luke 17, we're going to start in verse 11. And it's just, again, it's a short segment, but we're going to kind of talk about how this can help us. All right. So as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. That means he was a foreigner. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." All right, so beautiful. Well, so let's go back to the first verse. So leprosy during this time, if you've studied it at all, it was the terrible disease of the time. It would eat away at your skin to the point where if you had leprosy, you had to be outside. You could no longer be with your family. You were forced then to go to the community of wherever everybody else that had leprosy. You couldn't be around people, so you would have to leave the people that you love and go to where the other lepers were. And your body would just decay and eat itself, and fingers would fall off, so they would be wrapped. They'd look like zombie mummies, right? Like from the most horror movies. That's what leprosy does to your body. And so these people were together because they had to be together because they didn't have anybody else. They were in a community, and so they couldn't be around people. If somebody, if they were even near, they'd have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," to let people know that somebody was around that was unclean. Can you imagine? Like, let's just take a moment. Think about COVID, right? All right, so a couple years ago, COVID was really terrible. Can you imagine, like, if you were, like, diagnosed with it and, you know, you're out? Can you imagine having to yell out to people, "I got COVID"? I mean, like what a terrible thing to have to yell out to people, right? Ugh. It was devastating. It broke not only just, it broke their hearts. Of course, they were isolated, rejected, all the things in society, right? And so here we find these 10 men gathered together and they see Jesus, right? And so they're crying out to him, "Have mercy on us." Can you just visualize it? For those of you that watch The Chosen, it's so helpful because you can visualize just Jesus walking along the road, right? And these people yelling for his mercy, right? And he looked at them. That's what I love about Jesus. He looks at us in our brokenness and our mess and our sin. He looks at us. Jesus looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And then scripture says, and as they went. So they had to get up. They had to, okay, you're telling me to go to the priest now. Okay, I'm going to trust that now I'm healed, you know. They got up, and as they went, they were healed. As they stepped out in faith and trusted what Jesus was saying, they were healed. The reason why Jesus told them that is because ceremonially, the priest would have to give them, make sure that they're clean, right? Before they could enter in back with family and the regular community, the priests of that time would take care of that. And so Jesus knew they were healed, and he was like, so go to the priest so the priest can allow you back into the community. Isn't that beautiful? One of them, though, scripture says, when he saw, because can you imagine? I'm sure they were running, right? You've been away from your family, the people that you love for so long. Now you're healed, and you're going to be able to get back with them. I'm sure they were like marathoning it, right, to the priest. One of them along the way realized, like, oh my goodness, I'm healed. And decided in that moment to instead of go to the priests, right? Instead of getting himself all back in community, being able to do all that fun stuff with family again, he decided in that moment, you know what? I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back to Jesus and I'm going to say thank you. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, come back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. He could have went with the other 10. There wouldn't even have been anything terrible about that. That's what Jesus told him to do, actually. This one, he actually was going against what Jesus was saying in the moment. But his heart was so thankful and grateful that he wanted to go back to Jesus and he wanted to tell him how thankful he was for what he did. And so that's what happened. And then in that moment, Jesus says, didn't I heal 10? Men, where are the other 9? I hope we're not the other 9, right? We take what Jesus does for us and go live what we want to do, and then when we fall off the wagon again, we come back to him, right? Which his grace is there. But let's not take advantage of his grace. Let's not take advantage of the price that he paid for us, right? The Bible says, again, we all sin, but that doesn't mean just because the grace is there that we live in perpetual sin, right? God can help us with that. We can be delivered and healed, and that's the process of sanctification here until eternity, right, that we're all in. And then Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Oh, what a dramatic visual. Are you getting it? Are you getting the sense of it? 10 men were desperate. They were isolated. They were crying out to Jesus for mercy. Lepers were cast out of society, forced to live by themselves, isolated from your family. Can you imagine that? And then Jesus steps in with compassion, and he tells them, hey, go show yourself to the priests. And they're healed along the way. I love that. You see, in this story, God values the least. He honors faith, and he cherishes gratitude. Gratitude is a response to grace. Notice that the one leper who returned to thank Jesus is the one who realizes the grace that he received. He realized it. He recognized it. He doesn't just thank Jesus for the healing. He praises God, recognizing that his healing is a miracle of divine grace. That's so beautiful. True gratitude begins with the realization that we don't deserve what we've been given, whether it's health, whether it's provision, whether it's salvation, or anything else. I feel that all the time. Every time I pull into where we live, I love our neighborhood, I love our community. I'm so thankful to be able to be there and to live where we are. Chuck and I, when we pay bills, we thank Jesus that we have the ability to pay bills, right? So thankful for what God has given, how God has blessed. God blesses us not so that we can just hoard it for ourselves. He blesses us so that we can then pour that out onto others, right? So gratitude is a response to grace. Gratitude also brings us back to God. The 9 lepers received healing, but did not return to Jesus. The one who came back, however, not only received physical healing, all right, but also something more, a deeper spiritual healing. Jesus says to him, "Your faith has healed you." In other words, while all 10 were healed physically, only one received the fullness of that spiritual restoration because he returned to God in gratitude. So gratitude brings us back to God. Gratitude is not just a feeling as well, it's action. The Samaritan leper didn't just think, "Oh, I'm healed, that's great." He did something about it. He took action. He returned to Jesus, fell at his feet, and expressed his thankfulness with words and action. Are we doing that with how good God has been in our life? And again, I realize and recognize in saying this, that doesn't mean that your life right now that you're looking at is all perfect. All right, you can be looking at the worst things going on and still have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness in the midst of it. So here's a question. How can we apply gratitude to our lives? All right, great question. I'm glad you asked. I think I heard you ask that. So here we go. Number one, gratitude in worship. All right. When we come into God's presence, we're not just going through motions or singing songs for the sake of singing them. That's really a heart here. We don't want to just sing lyrics. We want to bring our praise to the Lord. We want to offer that to Jesus. We want to thank him for who he is and what he's done in our lives. We want to have that gratitude and worship. Our praise should be a heartfelt response of God's mercy and goodness and power in our lives. As we sing, we're acknowledging that all we have is from him. I got nothing to give the king, right? I got nothing to offer. There's nothing. The scripture says there's nothing good in us. Apart from Jesus, there's nothing good. All we have to do is offer him our heart, all right? So we can have gratitude in worship. Number two, we can have gratitude in service. We believe that every believer is called to serve the Lord and others. When we serve, we demonstrate gratitude. If we truly understand the depth of God's love and grace, we cannot help but share that love with other people. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, "For Christ's love compels us." It's his love that draws us. It's his love that brings us in. So having gratitude and service matters. When we serve out of gratitude, our actions are not motivated by duty, but by love. By love for Jesus, by love for others. Third is this, gratitude in prayer. Oh. In our personal lives, prayer is one of the most intimate ways we express that gratitude to God. And he deserves it. He deserves our prayers of gratitude and thankfulness. Philippians 4:16 says this, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." I love that scripture. Don't worry about anything. Easier said than done, right? Okay. But practicing that, right? Instead, pray about everything. Whatever you're going through, whatever the needs are, wherever the stress is, wherever the burdens are, bring that to the one that can handle it all, Jesus, the one that can carry it all, the one that has the answers, right? Tell God what you need. Why is it so hard for us as humans, right? Why is it hard for us to ask for help? We're independent. Right? We're selfish. We think we can do it on our own, right? The scripture says, tell God what you need. I can't even tell you this beginning of the year how much I've said to the Lord, help. But, I mean, that's been my prayer. Like, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength this day. I need you to help me to do this. I'm not sure. I need your grace. I need your strength. Like, it's not even like big prayers. They're just like desperate. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he has done. I found myself even this week, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for this. So many different ways that the Lord shows up and helps when we ask him. Gratitude should be at the heart of our prayers. It shifts our focus from our problems to God's faithfulness. Amen. I want to share a story, real quick story, that highlights the power of gratitude. In 1863, during the American Civil War, a man named Abraham Lincoln, you guys remember him, was facing enormous pressure. The war had caused devastating losses, and the nation was divided. Amidst the chaos, one woman, yay, one woman, Sarah Hale, all right, so you got to make those shout outs. Sarah Hale took it upon herself to write to Lincoln, urging him to establish a national day of Thanksgiving. I bet you didn't know this where it came from, huh? She believed that a day of gratitude would help heal the wounds of the nation and unite people for a common purpose. Despite being overwhelmed with other matters, Lincoln took her suggestion to heart and declared the first National Day of Thanksgiving on November 26, 1863. It's pretty cool. My birthday is November 26, so I'm like, yeah. Not 1863, obviously. But, yeah. But the National Day of Thanksgiving on November 26, 1863. The power of this act was profound. Amid war, Lincoln's call to give thanks was a reminder that there was always something to be grateful for, no matter how dark the times. Isn't that awesome? Our Thanksgiving Day that we all get to enjoy came from the simple heart of a woman that was realizing, hey, in the midst of all this chaos, this could be a solution. That wasn't even a spiritual thing. That was just a concept, right? And then Lincoln, being the president, could institute that. And now we get to all be able to celebrate that now because of that. Gratitude can heal. Gratitude can restore. It can bring unity, even in the hardest circumstances. It's a reminder that our hearts, when turned toward thankfulness, can transform not just our perspective, but also the situation. Oh, isn't that beautiful? So I want to give a few examples of how to live a life of gratitude, all right? And these are, I'm going to go through these quick. But I think it's important that we look at our life and how are we not only being grateful to the Lord, right, in prayer and worship and reading our scripture. Being grateful to the Lord is living a life for him. I mean, that's how we can be grateful, is live a life for the Lord. But how do we be grateful in our everyday life, right, with people, the people that we live with and work with, our friends? Showing gratitude is a powerful way to build strong relationships, lift people's spirits, and create a positive atmosphere. So here are some thoughtful ways, all right, to express gratitude to others. Now, some of you in here, you're like, probably like, I'm a pro at this, so I don't need these tips. That's okay. That's all right. You can still listen. But for others of you, maybe you just need a good reminder how you can start to flesh this out, because I promise you, if you can become a grateful person, your relationships will change. People like to be around people that are grateful and thankful and kind, and you know, so it can change things. So here we go. First one, verbal appreciation, all right? A simple thank you, specific praise, compliment their character, their value, all right? That's easy. Just say the words, right? Number two, written notes. Thank you card or a letter or email or text just to check in, or I'm praying for you, or how can I pray for you, or how are you doing? Or maybe it's just a smiley face with a heart. I mean, any of those things can be meaningful in showing gratitude. Number three, small acts of kindness. I love this one. Offer your help. If you see that there's a need somewhere, step in. See what you can do about it. Pay it forward. All right, that's always fun to go, whether it's like McDonald's or whatever, and pay for the people behind you, and then they show up and they're like, and they're waving out their window. I mean, just things like that, to be able to bless people that, you know, just weren't expecting it that day. Pay it forward. Pay kindness forward. Look for opportunities to do random acts of kindness, you know, and that can be all kinds of ways. Small gestures, bringing somebody their favorite coffee or holding the door open, right? Putting the cart back at Target, you know? Those are small things, but those matter. Those matter, especially in our day and age. Another thing is gifts. Personalized gifts, maybe a gift card with a small note. Those things show your gratitude and thanks. Quality time. That's a way to express love to somebody. Spending time together. Celebrate milestones. I'm a celebrator. I will look for reasons to, like, how can we celebrate? What can we do? What's coming? You know, it's so fun to celebrate. All right. Why? Because there's a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot of good, even in the midst of hard. All right. Listening and understanding. That's a way to show gratitude. Active listening, having empathy for others. And there's a lot of other ways, but those were just some simple ways to start practicing that in your life. Gratitude doesn't always have to be grand or elaborate. Sometimes it's the little, everyday gestures that can just have the biggest impact. The key is to be sincere, to be thoughtful, and considerate of the person that you're showing appreciation to. Showing gratitude to God can be just a simple prayer, a heartfelt prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. I say this to the Lord. Thanks for having patience with me, because I can be stubborn. And sometimes I like it my own way. But God is good, and he's faithful, and he walks with me. And I am just so grateful. Sometimes that's in worship. I can get overwhelmed because the music, the songs that we're singing, I just am so grateful for what God has done, what he's doing, even here at our church and through our church and through your lives, as I see what God is doing in you and as you're growing and as you're reaching out, it's overwhelming sometimes. And so my heart sometimes is like bursting with just gratitude to the Lord and what he's doing. And even as your pastor, I mean, it's such a joy to be able to serve and to be able to be here in this season and steward what God is doing. And I find myself at points I will get really teary-eyed and just grateful for what the Lord is doing. And so I tell them often, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our board. Thank you for our ministry team. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our community that's around us. Thank you for independent. I mean, I go down the line because I'm just so grateful. We've had hard times. Doesn't mean there hasn't been challenges, and we will continue to see them. But having a heart of gratitude is really the example that we can be to the world, right? In a world that is just so me, 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 all about them, if we can have that, it will begin to change around us. As we reflect today in this moment on the story of the 10 lepers, we're reminded that gratitude is not only a natural response to God's blessings, but it's a spiritual discipline that brings healing and restoration. The 9 lepers, again, received their physical healing, but it was the one who returned to Jesus who experienced the deeper, lasting change. So the challenge today is, let us be people who cultivate gratitude in our hearts and express it lived out in our lives, whether it's through worship or service or prayer. May we always come back to the one who has healed us, who has saved us, and who has blessed us beyond measure. Let us be like the one who returned to Jesus to give thanks. Amen. May that be our heart. And so as we close today, I'm going to play, we sang it earlier in worship, but I wanted the worship team to not have to sing it today just so that they could be in the moment. But today the response, the altar time, is just, I'm going to play the song Gratitude by Brandon Lake. And just in those moments, I want you in your own chair. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything, but I want you to respond to the Lord in your own heart of hearts as this song is played. And whatever that looks like for you, maybe as the song is played, you're just going to tell the Lord how grateful you are and how thankful you are, for his goodness and his mercy. Maybe while the song is playing, maybe you're getting your heart right with the Lord. Maybe you've been away from Jesus, and this would be a great time to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm grateful for what you've done on the cross. I want you to come into my life. That would be a great time to do that if you've been away from the Lord. Whatever that looks like for you today in this moment, I'm going to walk off this stage. We're going to play that song, and then Pastor Jordan will come up at the end and give some more direction. But I want us to just, in the moment of just beautiful gratitude as we listen to this worship song and as you respond to the Lord between you and Jesus, I believe God can do some really great things. Amen.